Three varieties of black rhythm and blues music fashioned the sound known as rock and roll in the pre-Presley R&R era. In Little Richard and another Georgia shouter, the lesser-known Ray Charles, we heard the genesis of soul, the marriage of gospel and blues, and both the Motown and Stax Volt people owe great debts to Richard and Ray. In Chuck Berry, we had a forewarning of that impending invasion by the country forces with their souped-up guitars and swiveling hips. In Fats Domino, The Platters, and many of the releases from Atlantic Records in 1955-56, we find a continuation of the popish R&B sound that started on the West Coast around the start of the decade. I left Corina, way across the sea. I left Corina, way across the sea. Gypsy Corina, tell home to me. Corina, 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 I love you so. And like hungry but uninvited guest at a ghetto barbecue and gut party, the large white recording companies stealthily, and sometimes blatantly, lifted a little bit of this and a dash of that and a smidgen of the other from R&B's generous spread. Billy Vaughn.
If you remember at that time, rhythm and blues records weren't selling to the white market. They were strictly rhythm and blues. And we would cover these things with Pat Boone and the Fontaine Sisters and whoever was available, and by golly, they would sell, you know.
And perhaps no other single white recording company lifted as many choice tidbits from the R&B table as did Dot Records of Gallatin, Tennessee. Owner and proprietor, Randy Wood. Chief cook and bottle washer, Billy Vaughn.
He made me, let's see, what was the title? Music director.
Not once tried to tell him I'd been there. Door slammed, hospitality's thin there. Wonder just what's going on in there.
Saw an eyeball peeping through a smoky cloud behind the green door. When I said Joe sent me, someone laughed out loud behind the green door. All I want to do is join the happy crowd behind the green door.
On the strength of such million sellers as Ain't It a Shame, Green Door, I Almost Lost My Mind, and Sail Along Silvery Moon, Dot Records zoomed from a small-time outfit operating out of a mail-order record shop in Gallatin to one of the giants of the industry. Randy Woods masterminded the success story, but Billy Vaughn made a large contribution.
They didn't put my name on there at that time. They just said an orchestra, you know, but I did all that arranging then. A lot of those million sellers don't have my name on it, but I was there.
This dialogue with Billy Vaughn is from a tape-recorded interview made in Hollywood in the spring of 1968. The conversation was pleasant. Billy Vaughn is an extremely likable fellow, a real Southern gentleman. We asked him, Billy, back in 1954 and 55, companies like Dot helped spread rhythm and blues' basic appeal to a vast, vast audience by whitewashing the product, right? Now, just suppose that you people had ignored the big beat when you first heard it thumping out of the black ghettos. Would it have caught on with the masses without your assistance? In other words, do you think we would have rock as we know it today?
I'm not real sure. Oh,
didn't you, in fact, help propagate this music?
It could be.
Weren't you responsible for the arrangement and instrumental backing on Pat Boone's Ain't That a Shame?
Oh, yeah, I did the arranging on everything at that time.
Well, had you previously listened to the Fats Domino original? Were you familiar with that?
Oh, possibly. I don't really remember, but I possibly did.
Was it common, say, to hear the R&B originals before you scored a pop cover?
Well, I guess I had to, but I don't think there was any sheet music on it at that time, you know, so I probably did.
Billy, how would you account for Pat Boone's great success during that era? What special qualities do you feel that he has as a singer?
Well, he had a very pleasing voice, you know, soft, and I guess possibly the selections had something to do with it.
At the corner truck store, each Saturday we would meet. I'd walk you home in the moonlight. Once more, our love will be free. When I lost my baby, I almost lost my mind. When I lost my baby, I almost lost my mind. My head is in a spin since you left me behind.
Well, I can tell you people, the news was not so good. Well, I can tell you people, the news was not so good. She said your baby has quit you. This time she's gone for good. My baby.
Billy, you made a record star out of Gail Storm, too, as I recall. Now, she hadn't been particularly noted for her singing abilities prior to that.
That's right. We had a million seller with her.
Wasn't there some sort of widely circulated story regarding her tie-up with Dot? You know, something about somebody's daughter playing talent scout and discovering Gail Storm.
Hank Randy's daughter, Linda, used to watch her show, My Little Margie, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think she sung a song maybe in that show, and his daughter told him about it, and she liked her so much that Randy got in touch with her, you know, mm-hmm. and recorded her.
Now, when you record somebody who is not primarily known for his or her vocal talents, an actress like Gail Storm, for example, do you do anything special? Do you shove them in an echo chamber or anything?
Well, I don't really recall. I really don't. Well, it's all sort of vague to me.
Me long time ago. Now you come back knocking at my door. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
I hear you knocking. Go back where you've been. I beg you not. Goodbye. Now you come back killing all.
had a number of million-selling records under your own name, starting with Melody of Love in 1955. That was a number one song. Do you recall how you happened to pick that old Wayne King melody?
I didn't even know I was going to do instrumental things, you know, and Mr. Wood, he happened to like this background. That was a recitation by, you know, on Wayne King's record. And he thought that was a waste of a pretty melody back there, you know, and so we just did it.
Were you surprised when Melody of Love became number one?
Oh, that son of a gun, it was out for 3 months or better, and it was doing nothing, not one record. And somebody picked it up and played it someplace, and they started getting phone calls, you know, and then we knew we had some.
We're going to conclude our program with that one, Billy, so let's move on. Sail Along Silvery Moon was similar, I think, except for the rock beat.
And it sold about 3 or 4 million records than the other one.
What led you to do that one?
Well, I had a friend, old Harry Tobias. You know Harry Tobias? He's a songwriter, mm-hmm. One of the Tobias boys. He brought those, batch of his songs around, I did this whole thing at my studio with two saxophones and thirds, you know. And I had this arrangement, and so we were having a session to cover Raunchy. You remember Raunchy? We were going to cover that, and I brought this arrangement along, and we did it while we were there. And son of a gun, turned out to be the A side. I still like that pure rhythm and blues.
The Pop Chronicles will continue in a moment.